Can director James Cameron equal the success of 2009's Avatar, the highest-grossing movie of all time? Well, he's getting close with the film's sequel, Avatar: The Way of Water.
I know one thing. Wherever we go, this family is our fortress.
The film, released just last month, is already number 7 on the list of all-time highest-grossing films worldwide. Cameron says sequels are hard because they have to strike a delicate balance.
The audience wants some degree of familiarity. They want to be grounded in that which they liked from the first film. And some sequels change too much. The trick is to find ways to make it pleasantly surprising, unexpected. You know, I feel like I was able to do that with a completely unexpected direction on Terminator 2, on Judgment Day, where we basically made the baddest badass killer bad guy into the good guy.
Come with me if you want to live.
Now that's a swerve that could have thrown people off. You know, in this film, it's a natural progression out of, okay, two people fall in love. And then so we cut to them 15 years later, and they've got a pack of kids. Now, what does that do to them as warriors, as kind of mythopoetic heroes?
And one of the things about the Sully family in Avatar: The Way of Water is that they've got kids from all kinds of different ways of having a family. It's not like a standard family.
It's defining family quite broadly. So there's an adopted daughter. There's a kid who's an orphan who would desperately love to be a Sully if he could. You know, so we see family kind of defined in different terms. And that's a theme that will continue across the subsequent films.
So for sure, the sequels are coming, right? I know there was some, you know, wondering, okay, if the movie does well, that it's going to have a 3, 4, and a 5 for sure.
I think so. Look, I mean,
what do you mean you think so, James? Come on.
The shooting scripts are all written. We've already fully captured and fully photographed movie 3, so it's essentially in post-production. We've done the first act of movie 4, and all we have to do is, you know, kind of add water, so to speak.
Now, is it true that 5, the Na'vi, go to Earth? I might have heard somewhere that that is a possibility for...
Don't you want to know?
I do. If you could tell me now, that would be great.
I could.
But you're not. Okay, we'll wait.
I'll let you finish that sentence for yourself.
We'll and why, let me ask you, why is the theme, because, you know, it's just watching the first film and this film, you know, it's civilizations using technology to do really bad things. That seems to be common, not just in Avatar, but Terminator, Aliens. Why is that important to you? Why is that theme important to you?
Well, look, it's just me analyzing through a science fiction lens, and even through a historical lens with Titanic, it's very similar thematically, is how technology changes us, how it fails us, how we use it cleverly. You know, I see technology as a double-edged sword that you know, threatens our destruction, but also is going to be part of our deliverance if we could figure out the right balance. It's all about balance.
When it comes to the way you use technology in your filmmaking, do you still have balance from maybe when you were a younger filmmaker, or is that something that has changed you completely?
Oh, I think balance is critical directorially, you know, artistically. I certainly am fully capable of geeking out and going down the rabbit hole of the tech, but I don't think that manifests in the finished film itself. I mean, if you look at the finished film, The Way of Water, it's actually celebrating quite a simple lifestyle that's very close to nature. The movie is succeeding, not based on its technology. In fact, I've kind of even embargoed talking about the behind-the-scenes tech on the film because I think that people care about the characters. You know, the why is an interesting question. It's like, why do we jump through all these hoops of performance capture and the things that we need to do to bring these characters to life? And the answer is because we couldn't do it any other way. These characters, as you see them, could not be done with makeup. So you're not going to get that big-eyed, open, empathetic kind of feeling with makeup.
Could you ever imagine yourself directing a film with, say, just a handful of actors, one set, no added anything, like a remake of 12 Angry Men? Could you ever see yourself doing that?
I do it on every movie I make. I have intimate scenes where I'm hand-holding the camera, and I make sure that those scenes exist in every film that I do. But I would never limit myself to that. I mean, I can do that. I could do that all day long. Making a film like that, end-to-end, would bore the crap out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you know, my whole life, I've always insisted on seeing movies in a theater. The bigger the screen, the better. And I think a lot of people prefer that. But I got to admit, James, that since the pandemic, I've softened that strict stance.
I know, everybody has. By necessity.
Well, yeah, health necessity. But also, I didn't want to keep missing movies. I felt like I was just getting behind. I'd watch movies all the time. Me and my wife would go out and do as many movies as we could every single month. If years from now someone told you that for whatever reason they watched The Way of Water but only on their phone or laptop, what would you say to them? How would that make you feel?
I would say, okay, you've seen sort of half the movie. If you watch it at home on a reasonably large flat screen TV with a decent sound system and you sit close enough, not way across the room, you're going to have a good experience. And I think when you start looking at something on a phone, you're sort of missing the point. Going to a movie theater is less about the size of the screen and the perfection of the sound system, and it's more about a decision to not multitask. I think that's the critical part that people are missing. You're making a deal between yourself and a piece of art to give it your full attention, and you don't when you're at home. People don't cry as much when they watch a movie at home as they will in a movie theater. You don't have the depth of emotion.
If we could only make sure, yeah, that people leave their phones at the theater door, right? That'd be ideal for me.
Well, look, we accept that annoyance factor, though. Even now, with the new annoyances, the person next to you munching endlessly and rustling all their wrappers and their popcorn and everything, the person in front of you that's too tall. We accept all that because what we're doing is, once again, we're signing a contract with ourselves to give our full commitment, to be fully present.
That's director James Cameron. His film is Avatar: The Way of Water. James, thanks for the time.
Hey, it was great talking to you.